Welcome to Gila Members Community Radio. Next up, we'll be back to the garden, conversations with Jean Eisenhower and her guests on all things green and growing in and around your house. This is GMCR, a voice and a choice for Southwest New Mexico.
Comes the springtime, plant your seeds, see what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth, thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
Hello and welcome to Back to the Garden. I'm your host, Jean Eisenhower, and this is a show for gardeners, beginning gardeners, and all those who think it might be a good idea to have a garden. Today we'll be talking with Sherwood Nance, the animal control officer for the city of Silver City. He's the one who will approve your chicken coop if you want to have chickens in the city. We're going to learn from him all about the regulations and why those regulations exist. Welcome to the show, Sherwood.
Well, thank you very much, Jean.
Well, before we begin in earnest talking about chickens and city law, I want to recognize that we have a very large listenership beyond Silver City, and I want those folks to know that we have a lot of important information also about chickens in the garden that folks in the county will probably want to stay tuned for as well. Whether you have chickens or have ever thought it might be a good idea for getting the highest quality eggs, meat, and compost inexpensively and very conveniently. I also want to let county folks know that I did call the Grant County to ask if they have the equivalent of an animal control officer, and the woman I spoke to was quite perplexed by the question and promised to call me back or have someone call me, but never did. So I'm assuming that animal regulations are probably limited to the issues of cruelty maybe in the county and beyond.
Well, basically, from what I understand in the county, it falls under the livestock ordinances. Mm-hmm. And because, again, it's fowl, you know, that goes along with geese and the other birds out there. So animal control, as far as what I do in the city, the mm-hmm. dogs and cats issue, I believe that the county's Buddy Howard is the one that just does that, to where they have a livestock a warden that basically would probably handle some of that, mostly because, again, it's the county has a wider range of regulations than the city does.
Okay, well, I will hope to learn more about that, and maybe we'll have county issues on another show. Mm-hmm. So, Sherwood, we're going to be talking about this ordinance for keeping chickens and other small livestock inside the city limits, and I'll probably be asking questions that aren't even specifically in the ordinance, things maybe that you've witnessed, both problems and creative solutions. So, if I can take 1 minute more, I'd like to advocate for chicken keeping wherever you are. Listeners might not know that keeping chickens in the city has been a controversy, actually, all over the nation. And in recent years, there has been an amazing grassroots movement of chicken activists advocating for the right to raise their own, of course, high-quality, inexpensive food at home. And some of the factors playing into this movement probably includes economic insecurity. And another is the problem that with so much of our food being treated with chemicals, over which we have so little to say, and modified genetics is also becoming an even bigger concern. So keeping chickens allows people to grow some of their own high-quality protein very inexpensively. So some might say that this is a human rights issue, a food quality issue, and a health issue. And I'm really proud that Silver City has passed a reasonable ordinance around chicken keeping.
Yeah, I believe the city council has done just that they've passed a reasonable ordinance regarding keeping of chickens in the city.
Okay, so what have been the concerns that would lead this city and any city to have an ordinance at all?
Okay, the big issue, and it's always the issue, is roosters. Uh-huh. You don't need to have roosters to have eggs, and this is where a lot of people get confused. They figure, I need a rooster for
egg
leg or something,
mm-hmm.
and the hens won't lay. Well, that's a mysticism. It's not mm-hmm. true. Hens will lay eggs regardless of anything.
I know that. I have three chickens, and they are very good producers.
Right, and so that's where the concern started, because people oh, you know, roosters are beautiful creatures, and they're fantastic to look at, and you know, they're just really great to have around, you know, the chickens. But the problem is that they make a noise. They start crowing at different hours of the night, mm-hmm. and then that's where we have the problems poke up. Is people are always, you know, complaining, oh, the rooster's crowing, waking me up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically where the, you know, the big concern was, you know, yeah, you can have some chickens, but no roosters. The other thing is, you know, they were concerned about having a few chickens versus, you know, a business chicken.
Production.
Where there's, you know, too many chickens in a backyard.
And what's the problem with that?
Well, the problem with that, you know, once you have that many, you have feathers flying into people's yards. If they're not cleaned up with the droppings, mm-hmm. that can be a problem. And again, some people are allergic, so having multiple chickens and with the breeze blowing around, I mean, you could disturb your neighbors.
Okay, so this seems very reasonable. Can you tell us about coop size? I assume that's one of the first things you go to look at.
Yeah, basically, you know, as far as the coop size, you know, they want a predator proof type of coop, which basically would be a heavy duty wire, so dogs or wildlife, which is what we have a problem with in this town, and people don't recognize. You got raccoons, skunks, and cats, that feral cats that will tear right into a chicken coop if they can get it. A lot of people think of the coyotes. We see coyotes around. It's an, you know, it's another thing. So it's very important to have a secure coop. As far as size goes, I mean, for six chickens, you want enough to where they can be comfortable in it. We don't mm-hmm. want a cramped coop to where they can't move around freely, you know, and exercise just like you would a dog, per mm-hmm. se, in his yard. You know, they don't want too close, and you need a place where it's easy enough to clean up after your chickens. So, I mean, right. and that's why you want the chickens, like you said, for your, you know, gardens, fertilizing and such.
Right. And you said before the show started that you haven't heard any stories about chickens escaping or anything. But I have.
yeah. No, you know, since this the ordinance came in, the chicken people who have chickens have been very good tenders of their flocks.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had any incidences where we've had chickens running down Bullard Street terrorizing mm-hmm. people like the turkeys do back east.
Right.
You know, another thing, you know, is that, you know, chickens can fly, and that's why we need to have these predator enclosed coops.
Mm-hmm.
And if you let them out in the backyard, I mean, you know, they can fly over the fence.
Right.
So, but we haven't had, like I said, the people of the town that have been raising their chickens have done a really good job, and they should be commended about that.
Well, thanks. We did discover, we thought that we had a totally escape-proof and predator-proof coop, but there was one, maybe about 12 inches, that I knew was a weak point in it,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed really difficult. It was the end of the day, and I thought, oh, the chickens aren't going to find that. They did. The very first day, they found that spot, and I had one of them get out, and it was fairly easy to catch it, and then I did the hard work of fixing and making that last place
proof. Well, you know, and a lot of times people start off with chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, when the chicks are very small, they can get through a webbing that's you know, a larger webbing. So you need to really, if you're going to start with the chicks, you need to make sure your coop is, you know, like I said, covered in small enough wire, because these little guys will, you know, will get out.
And they're not as big as their little fluff. They're inside that fluff. They're pretty little.
And I don't know if you've ever chased that chicken, but they don't want to be caught.
I'm sure. That's funny. Now, have you found that chicken wire is strong enough for most predators? Somebody told me it wasn't.
I would actually like to see a heavier gauge wire than the chicken,
mm-hmm.
because mostly that came to me was for your pens, because mm-hmm. they could line the bottom of the different pens with it, and the droppings would drop down and on the sides for ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an outdoor coop where you're keeping them in your yard, that's where I don't think it's really strong enough, and that's where people go wrong, because if you get a, let's say a dog or a coyote roaming around, I mean, they got pretty powerful paws and teeth,
mm-hmm.
and they could just pull on that, and the chicken wire, I've seen where they have pulled that apart, because again, you're talking about how you're securing it.
Mm-hmm.
So they could, you know, they can tear that stuff, because it's meant to bend.
Right, that's right. And so again, the size of the coop and how many birds are allowed in the city?
You're allowed six chickens in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the size should be to where the chickens can move around freely and not be cramped. also where it can, the coop can be cleaned out easily.
Okay. And you don't have any numbers on the size? I for some reason thought it was 4x6 or 24 square feet.
Well, you know, I think that they did start out with some numbers when they first were trying to get this ordinance, but then they figured that they looked at it and they couldn't like agree like on what's the right size for a chicken, because the chickens are different sizes. I mean, you can get some Banny hens to versus Rhode Island Reds to, you know, I think there's the, I'm not sure what the white ones are called. But
Leghorns?
Leghorns, yes. And they can be different in sizes. So, you know, I mean, I think a 2x2 square per chicken, I mean, and as far as a house goes, would be adequate.
Okay, and that's the house. And then then there's the coop that's the larger enclosed area.
Right. And again, we don't have a size on that, but we do have a say where you've got to be at least 20 feet away from your property line. So basically that would, you know, if you got like a large yard and you wanted to go out in your yard, you can make it 40 feet if you got 20 feet on the backside to your neighbor's yard. So, you know.
Okay.
That's not really an issue. I mean, we like to see, you know, what, you know, something that, you know, you'd be comfortable with. But again, it needs to be something that can be cleaned out easily.
Okay. I appreciate that aspect of it. And then also knowing that the size is just dependent on the bird size. That sounds very reasonable.
Yeah. Because some people may not have six. They may have two, you know, so, you know, it's hard to say, you know, a good judgment. You know, and I'm sure the people who raise chicken are doing their homework, too. I'm hoping that they would talk to others who have chicken and look at their coops.
Right. Well, that's segues nicely into what I was going to go through next. We did our homework and borrowed books from friends, and I started compiling all the qualities of a house that's going to keep the chickens healthy. So I thought I would go over this list with you and with the audience, and just you interrupt me at any point if you have something to add. One of the first things is that the birds have to be warm in the wintertime, and insulation, some people actually insulate their coops. We had some of that reflective wrap that you can put inside that's kind of goes along with insulation, but we didn't have insulation. So we put it together thinking if we needed to, we would add it later. But it hasn't been necessary at all. Our birds have been very, very comfortable, but there's different varieties of birds. And I know that we have the Leghorns, and they did very well last summer, and they're doing wonderfully this winter, not even slowing down on their egg laying. And my website gets visitors from around the country, and this woman from Phoenix said that she had, you know, her birds just die summer after summer from the heat. So we have to keep them warm in the winter, and we have to keep them, give them opportunities to be cool. And if you're someplace like Phoenix, choose the right variety, because not every variety is going to suffer the weather the same.
From what I understand, it's ventilation is the key.
Ventilation, yes.
Ventilation, because again, if it's, you know, out in the bare, you know, extremes, and that's where the chickens would, you know, probably get frozen. But if they can get out like a wind block, you know, then I think they're fine. The same thing with the summertime, as long as they've got like shade, but plenty of air movement, and then that goes in the tie of the size of the coop, to where, you know, you need to have good ventilation. And that also goes for all your pets, with, you know, like dogs, anything. That ventilation is really the key to having a healthy pet.
Right. And the airflow also is important to keep the air clean inside the house, because the manure has a fair amount of ammonia in it. And I was reading that they can get lung conditions if they're forced to breathe too much ammonia. So airflow is essential for that, too.
Right. And that's why we stress that you keep the coop clean and put the droppings where you want them, you know, in a compost.
Right.
And again, like you said, you're right. I mean, the air movement is critical for all that to work.
And then the other thing that we did, going back to keeping the house warm, is that we designed a passive solar chicken coop, made sure that it's facing south, and we lifted it off the ground because we had a nearby fence. So it's high enough that the sun can shine over that fence and warm the house naturally.
Well, you can even do that with the fiberglassing roofs, you know, the clear plastic like you do on your backyard patios.
Yeah, wonderful. We'll be right back. And this is Back to the Garden. We're talking today about keeping chickens. And we have in our studio Sherwood Nance, the animal control officer for Silver City, talking about the ordinance for keeping chickens legally in the city. And I was just going over some characteristics of a chicken coop or chicken house. And one of the other things they need, of course, is nesting boxes. We were able to make our own, just modeling them off of those that we could see at the hardware store. A ramp or some sort of easy access to the coop. Roosts that are comfortable for the birds, and I was reading too that they like them to be all on the same level, otherwise they kind of get into that hierarchy, and I don't know, the hierarchy is just natural among chickens, so I guess that's not a big deal, but we made our roosts level, and they need to be fat enough to be comfortable on their feet too. Mm-hmm. Straw at the bottom, a nice big door for our access, so
that's a key to it, yeah.
To clean it. Mm-hmm. And we decided to paint the interior. We had a bunch of leftover paint, and so painting it, I figured, would make it real nice and easy. And we even caulked all the corners and seams so that it was especially easy. Now, having straw on the bottom and birds not spending that much time in there anyway, I can't imagine when I'm going to need to clean it. But if I need to, mm-hmm. I can.
Well, that's the point, because, again, you know, if you're in an area where there's large yards around you, you know, you have more freedom with that part of it. But if you're in, say, the houses around the high school where they're more clustered together, or some of these mm-hmm. places around town, that's where you really have to, you know, look and think about those things, even about getting chickens, you know, because of your neighbor's welfare. Mm-hmm. Because I have had a complaint before the ordinance was passed, and that was because the feathers were blowing into a neighbor's yard, and they were allergic.
Right. So. Well, you've just reminded me of something I meant to ask you about a moment back, and then we'll come back to this list. And that is that the chickens need to be 20 feet from your neighbor's property line, not necessarily your property line, because we're living right next to a street, mm-hmm. so we're able to have it on our property line next to the street, correct? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would be, some people might have lots that just, it wasn't possible to have chickens. It
right,
sounds
and,
that, like
and that's and see that's again that's what the council had to look at. Is mm-hmm. not everybody has the same size lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, some people really don't want a chicken coop next to their bathroom window when they get up in the morning.
Right.
Or someplace else.
Or right next to the bedroom window or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you know, again, that's why they want them in behind the house where they can't be seen from, you know, the public on the street.
Right.
And again, away from the property lines, mm-hmm. To give your neighbors a break.
Right.
And to keep the peace.
Well, I feel really fortunate that we're on a lot that would allow them.
Well, you know, chickens do make noise like roosters, too, but it's not the same. You know, but chickens can...
Well, they generally are pretty quiet, you mm-hmm. know, the little buck, 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 and little gurgles. But now and then, when they lay an egg, sometimes they will get all excited and get each other excited, and then they do make a bit of noise. But we think it's hilariously
right.
funny, and it's quite good entertainment, and it's certainly a lot better than neighbors' dogs barking.
Right.
So I'm sure that probably came up mm-hmm. in those discussions.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, back to our list. Protection from rain, wind, and snow.
Mm-hmm.
Straw on the floor. Oh, I said that already. And size. That they can't be too crowded.
Right.
Otherwise, I think the pecking order really goes into play. And I don't know how many people have seen chickens who are at the bottom of the pecking order. They can be mercilessly pecked to the point of bleeding and even bleeding
right.
to
they
death.
Pull
right,
out, they go after all their feathers.
Right.
And then they end up getting the bare spots. And again, then they're more likely susceptible to disease and colds.
Right. And so by giving them enough space, then nobody feels a need to peck on anybody else, and the low bird will live a very happy life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would just like to add to that is like what you said. I mean, you did your homework on size of coops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a very basic thing. If you're going to think about having chickens, is how much room you have to work with.
Right.
You know, and if you don't have a lot of, I mean, then maybe you just need to have one chicken or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that may work better for you. Again,
right.
Size is, you know, is just one of those things that you really need to look at and talk to other people who've had chickens to get some ideas.
Right. And three or six birds might be too many for a family, not only the size of coop that they could have, mm-hmm. but how many eggs can they eat?
Right.
We've got three leghorns, very, very good layers, and we get more than two eggs a day on average.
Yeah.
So that's plenty of eggs.
Yeah, that's a dozen a week
mm-hmm,
with
we,
just a couple. So
right.
you multiply that by four more,
mm-hmm.
you can't give all those eggs away to your family.
Right, right. So
it's like zucchinis in the summertime.
Right, exactly.
You wake up in the morning, you got tons of zucchini in the car, and you wonder where it came
right,
from.
Right, right, your neighbors. Well, there's all sorts of house designs that I've seen when I went looking around. And actually, we built ours out of mostly recycled materials.
Oh, I think you can build great chicken coops out of recycling.
Mm-hmm. And people tell us how beautiful it is. And, you know, we just use leftover paint on it and did one silly thing of making a pretty curved corbel to hold up the roof on the south side. And it's delightful. And then I started feeling really embarrassed, like we'd just gone overboard. And but as soon as I went online to look it up, there are some outrageous chicken coops that look like little Swiss chalets and, you know, people have really gone overboard. So there's a lot of designs. They're as simple as a hoop house, mm-hmm. where people use PVC pipe and just stretch plastic over it. There's very simple ways, like even here, building with pallets.
Right. Here again, what we stress is predator-proof. Mm-hmm. We're on the edge of the Gila, and we do have quite a bit of wildlife coming through our town. So that's what I would like to see the town folks address, and even in the county, is a predator-proof coops.
Mm-hmm. And that would entail just the stronger wire?
Stronger wire, more of a reinforcement wire like they use sometimes with concrete.
Right.
Just a thicker wire than chicken wire.
And we took our chicken wire, and that's all we've used, but we are also enclosed on all, the birds are inside our fence.
Right, you have a fenced yard,
so we shouldn't be having any major predators come inside. But even so, just in case, we took our chicken wire down to the ground, and then under the soil, 2 inches deep, but laid out 2 feet,
mm-hmm.
because most digging animals will come right up to the fence, and then they start digging, but they're already standing on top of chicken wire. So
yeah, and you know that we have skunks, quite a few skunks in the town.
And they'll do the same activity?
And that's what they do. I mean, mm-hmm. they're diggers. They're a burrowing animal.
Right. So we have the wire that comes down and then flanges out all the way around it. And if anybody wants to see that design, I have it on my website, homeandgardeninspiration.net, on a blog with full of details on how we made that out of all recycled materials. And that's just for anybody to look at for free. Anything more you have to add about coop design?
No.
Okay. Well, there's also nifty things you can buy, like automatic door openers, if people are concerned about opening and closing the doors at night. But
well, they also have water dishes they use for dogs that are electric. They heat them up a little bit so they don't freeze.
Oh, nice. I might go looking for that.
Yeah, and they've come out with those for dogs in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. I think they're battery-powered.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, I think that's a great idea because they need water. You know, that's another thing that, you know, all of our animals need water to stay healthy.
And does the city get involved in that?
When we do the permit, we look for it and see how they're set up.
Mm-hmm.
What I believe that the town feels as far as the animal goes, that you will be good stewards of your animal to where we won't get complaints. But if we get a complaint, well, then I will have to go out and investigate. And then, you know, obviously it could lead to a citation for care and maintenance of your animals.
And what do those citations run?
Well, I was telling you that, you know, it's a flexible type of fine. It could be zero or up to $500. It's up to the judge's discretion on what she wants to issue. She can even let you off with a warning, a first-time warning or something. But it's a maximum $500 fine.
And so, how would you encourage people who maybe been under the radar and don't feel like they want to register their animals?
Well, I would encourage them to really think about that and get, you know, get straight with the codes and get a really good house and get it basically come in and get a permit, because that way, if there is any problems with a neighbor or somebody, I mean, you're covered. So, you know, they're, you know, you're a law-abiding citizen, and, you know, we can go look. They did their coops up to code, so really there isn't a problem.
Right, and so if a neighbor did complain, you'd be in better standing with the
right.
city.
My biggest problem that I got to say for the city is the roosters. Mm-hmm. Don't get roosters.
Right, that's easy.
Period.
Yeah, if you're getting little chicks, then it could be a problem. They could grow up to be roosters.
Right, and a lot of people don't understand. Yeah, when you get the chicks, I don't think that they're all sexed. I think you have to wait until you see what they turn into.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that say, well, I just got 6 chicks at, you know, the feed supply, and it turned out to be, you know, they got a couple of roosters in there. But the roosters, like I say, they're beautiful birds, and people go, well, they're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start crowing, and then they get a visit from me.
Yeah. And then they have to find someone who wants,
right.
someone out in the country who will take their roosters.
Take the roosters, and you don't need roosters for eggs.
Right. Okay, how hard is it to get rid of roosters? Or, I mean, do people find that difficult?
Well, I understand you can eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So there you go.
Well, I did that one time.
So
I did it and I found out that...
You know, you have friends over for barbecue.
Right. But you need to make sure that you know how to age a bird, because they can be really, really tough if they're not aged properly. So talk
to
someone.
Heard the phrase, everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how many people will be able to use this, but there's something called a chicken tractor. It's a house that's on either wheels or on little sled feet that you can move around on a large yard. Mm-hmm. And that way the chickens scratch and they leave manure spread out and they kind of lift up the soil. And then just before they start doing serious damage, you just slide it along a little bit further.
Yeah, I think that for the county would be pretty useful.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, as we talked about, I mean, you're dealing with residential lots here in the city.
Not that much room to slide one around.
Not that much room to really roam. And again, that's why the people really should take a look at their house lots, their backyards, because that's where the coops will have to be, and see if it works for them or not. Because sometimes it may be just cheaper to buy eggs.
Right. Well, we're nearing the end of our time, so I just like to review the benefits of chickens. Not only the food, the eggs, and the meat, which you can control and make the highest quality possible. Manure from the chickens to use in your garden is very valuable.
High nitrogen, isn't it?
High in nitrogen.
But, mm-hmm. And ammonia, but I've also heard that you need to watch that. I mean, you need to make sure it's mixed in thoroughly mm-hmm. with your compost. You just
right.
don't want to throw direct chicken poop out there, because it'll burn your plants.
Right. And we usually have it mixed up with a straw, so it mm-hmm. goes into the compost like that. But we've been digging up just wonderful, wonderful soil from mm-hmm. from their yard now, and it's just the richest thing I've seen.
Well,
I'm happy not to pay for it.
Earthworms are another mm-hmm. great thing that you can throw in there. And you know, the earthworms add to the soil benefits, mm-hmm. and they aerate it, and again, you know, just make an all-around better compost.
Right. And then there's the entertainment value. Mm-hmm. You've got pets who are very funny and often sweet. But quickly, we better find out, where do people get information regarding the city ordinance?
Okay, two places. One, it's online at silvercity.gov, mm-hmm. county, town of Silver City. And the other thing is, you can come to the police department, and we have applications for your chicken permits there.
All right, excellent. I think that's about it. Thank you so much for being here, Sherwin.
I wish we had more time.
Yeah, I wish we did too. Well, people, folks, our time is up. We hope that you've gained at least a few bits of information and inspiration that'll be useful in your gardens and your life. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Kyle Johnson for handling the production, and to Greg Renfro for the intro and outro music. Thank you, gardeners everywhere, for keeping these essential skills alive for all of us and for sharing your skills with others. Please tune in next week for another interview with a local gardener sharing his or her expertise. It might be native species, proper pruning, water harvesting, or something else entirely that might spark a new vision in your garden. We'll bring it to you. Until next week, I'm wishing you peaceful, healing moments in your garden. I'm Jean Eisenhower. Thank you for listening to Back to the Garden.
Comes the springtime, plant your seeds. See what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth. Thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
This is Gila Members Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Back to the Garden with Jean Eisenhower. Join us again next Thursday at 4:30 for more conversation on all things green and growing. This is what community radio looks like. This is GMCR.